Welcome. This is Roots Reggae Radio, and you're listening to Artists in the City. My name is Mally, aka Docu Vixen, and we are here in the studio with Mary Wells, who is going to speak about her film, her upcoming film called Kingston Paradise.
Worked a little bit. I used to work for C-SPAN.
Oh wow! How was that? How long were you at C-SPAN?
Just about maybe a little over a year, or almost 2 years, I think. I was like a studio camera operator.
Wow!
And so all the politicians you see on TV now, half of them I've mic'd them and said hello, welcome. So that's interesting.
Right. So after Washington, where did you go?
I wanted to go home. I wanted to go back to Jamaica, where I'm from. So I went back to the Caribbean, which is always very treacherous and kind of thought-provoking.
Right. And so, okay. So, getting to the process of how you started and begun the current film that you is upcoming is Kingston Paradise. Maybe talk about when you started to develop that script and that process.
Okay. Well, Kingston Paradise is definitely a labor of love. It's a small, when I say small film, not meaning it's small and not important. It's a small film that tells an important Caribbean story on disenfranchised youth in the inner city, and it's very offbeat, very quirky, which is unusual for coming out of Jamaica. The characters definitely did not take Gangsta 101, and are not the cliche, but these young people, especially the lead character, one day realizes that in his neighborhood he sees a fancy car and decides that he wants to steal it and rip it up and sell the parts. And with a friend, they go about doing this, and things don't go very well for them. They didn't secure an order for the car, and the whole story is how he's trying to get rid of it and make some money. And he has a woman he pimps for, he's a prostitute, and that the second story is their relationship, which is really very dynamic. And so it's been quite a journey to make this movie.
So how was the writing process? Did you write with anybody? Was it, how long did that take you?
No, I didn't write with anybody. I tend to be inspired, sort of inspire myself, and I developed this story idea from years of, I guess, working with young people and shooting in the inner city of Kingston. I just wanted to do something that gave a gritty, real story on Jamaican life, even though that's typical of many films coming out of many places. But I wanted to do something a little different. And it's amazing, the Caribbean tends to be portrayed in this stereotypical way, and Caribbean people tend to reinforce the stereotype. And I was tired of that, and I wanted to do something that was a little more real. Mm-hmm. And so I spent maybe 4 or 5 months developing this idea. I wasn't even sure what I was doing, and it was actually the second screenplay that I'd ever written, so it moved a little faster than the first one I did. The first one is still a film to be made. And so this one was just, you think you're sitting all alone with a computer just like over there, laptop in your house or in a room all by yourself for many days and months and weeks, or weeks and months. And you're just developing this thing and you don't even know where it's going to go. And you think, the idea for several years, over 10 years, I just wanted to make a small movie. And it's never a small thing.
It's big.
Yeah.
So how long is the film?
Well, so far we have now a very rough cut. Still developing it. It's roughly, and even getting closer and closer to a lock. It's going to be at least a 90-minute film.
Right.
Like
so
that.
A full feature.
Yeah.
So that's not really small.
No.
In any capacity at
all. No, but...
But yeah, like I understand your process. So from script, now did you, how long was it to get the production together?
I wrote it towards the end of 2007, and it took me a year to get it together. In between, I had to get myself, you constantly have to inspire yourself. So I grabbed some young people I'd worked with or somebody I'd met and took pictures and tried to put together a little proposal and a budget to see if I could get corporate sponsorship, even just on a very local level. It was very difficult. I managed to get a smaller bit of money from a local cultural fund, and then I interested the government production house or media called CPTC in Jamaica, Creative Production Training Center, and then a Dutch entity called Caribbean Creativity to put some money into it to help me shoot it, because that's all they were doing. It wasn't anything else. And those relationships have been quite something. And so I after a year, I tried to get other funding too, and I tried to interest a producer, but that was just not to be. I had to produce it, I had to direct it. I knew I couldn't shoot it. I wanted to get somebody with a little bit of skill, certainly with cinematic lighting skills, to help me light it properly and do it properly, gather a crew. And I somehow managed to do that. I met this young Jamaican who was half Jamaican and half American, living in New York City, and managed to twist his arm and, encourage different people to work with me, and got him down from America, and managed to, with very little funds, to some of it is on deferrals, to get them. And I spent about two months casting, and Jamaica has an old theatre community, so there were lots of people who came to try out. I incorporated young people that I had worked with, and what ended up was, first I casted a young man I didn't know. That relationship didn't work out, unfortunately. And so I had to get another lead character. And it turns out he is quite well known. His name is Chris Daly. He was sort of a child prodigy, young actor who was on a well-known local soap opera. And casted him along with this young woman who had done just a few public service announcements for an NGO. To empower youth not to use drugs. She had almost no experience, but her raw talent was incredible. So the two of them were quite lethal.
Wow. I'm really getting excited. So how long was the production process, like your actual shoot time?
Well, the pre-prod first, we spent something like, and you could only do this in a Caribbean or a third world society where you don't have too much funds and there's no sort of laws to protect a whole lot of people. I spent some 7 or 8 months in rehearsals. Normally you'd have to pay people.
Pay
people? It was okay. Because local actors are committed to wanting to get experience.
Yeah.
So thank God for that. Apart from Chris and one other more mature actor who had a small part, all the young people were just, most of them had no experience.
Yeah, so they just wanted...
Yeah,
yeah.
So they were hungry for the opportunity.
Right.
And so after that, managed to barely just getting the funds together and putting a whole pile of stuff in place based on your reputation and track record and all kinds of stuff, we started to shoot, and we shot for a small film. I definitely think we should have done it in less time, but we managed to do it in about 5 weeks.
That's pretty good. Now jump to your editing process. That's where sometimes me as a filmmaker, I don't know, it's my own problem. process right now, is like going through the footage and like the amount of work that is needed to edit a film. What was that process like?
Well, that's a whole other story. It's a little not a terribly conventional film in the sense where this, maybe many films are made like this. This is my first. I don't know or have a lot to measure from. But this, even though I had a script, it wasn't, and I knew exactly the kind of film it was going to be, it wasn't engraved in stone. It was still evolving. It was as if
I
was
like
still trying to discover what this film
was
all
like
about.
It was a director's script, right? So like a
yes.
Lot of it yeah.
That's interesting. It was definitely a director's script.
Well, and then like a lot of the work was the actors, right? Because you have, how long was the rehearsals?
8 months. The actual lead, by the time I had to get rid of the other young man and get a new lead, he only came on board for a month. And he did fall in line because he has experience. He wasn't so easy to work with.
Yeah.
Neither was the DP. That's a whole other story. And then a woman at the helm directing. That's a whole other story. And so, yeah, they overall, did they really get my script? Not really. You know, they had ideas of what they thought the story was. So I was struggling with that. But I knew that because we shot it pretty conventionally, I knew I could still do my film once I got rid of the production and got rid of the party.
Right.
You know, you bid them all goodbye. It was quite something. Yeah.
So how is your process you're about to talk about?
Right, for editing.
Yeah.
So. Well, originally the government media house was supposed to help me edit it. And I had to wait around for many months because I didn't have the money to pay for the editing. But they came on board as a partner. And they in the end, they couldn't. They couldn't do it because they were a government production house. And in a government production house situation, certainly in Jamaica, in this particular case, there was a very important government film in front of me, which was paying, and you know, some documentary on the a former prime minister. So that was a very important film.
Right.
And was, you know, who was I? And I didn't have any money, you know, so I wasn't a priority. So after waiting around for about 6 or 7 months, I couldn't wait anymore, and I had met some people who were interested in maybe helping me. That relationship didn't work out too well either. That's a whole other story again. It was quite a, it's the whole thing was quite a process. So they did a rough kind of
filmmaking is war.
Yeah, yes, it war really care. Yeah, it really is war. From the day you begin to press the keys on the computer. It's a writing war, it's a pre-production war, it's a shooting war, it's an editing war, it's a post-production war.
And now you're going into distribution.
Yeah, it's a release and promotion war. It's and then you have to manage all these people and all these, and then you know they don't care about you, and the fact that you were at the helm. It's not about that. And, you know, after a while, if they can get rid of you, they will try. So you know, and even though you might have partners, they forget that they are just privileged to be a part of your project. It's they don't think so. They've given you money. They've given you equipment and in kind. So it's, you know, it's really something else. I challenge anybody, all of my colleagues in Jamaica and in the Caribbean, to make a small film for nothing. It is the most important learning experience you can ever have in your life. And to think I'm only halfway through.
Yeah. Wow.
When that relationship didn't work out, at the time in between now, I had to earn also. And
right.
I had to continue my life. So I had met a lovely filmmaker, Caribbean diaspora filmmaker, Caribbean filmmaker out of Trinidad, Francis Ann Solomon, who has a company in Toronto, Canada, who had helped promote one of her incredible films in Jamaica, and so we've maintained this friendship, And she, at the time, was in Barbados and was developing a very interesting company called Caribbean Tales Worldwide Distribution. I'm touching the mics. And oh, you get so animated. And she, at the time, just at that time, after I'd shot, was developing a very exciting film festival and incubator in Barbados. And she wanted me to come and help. And I, you know, not only was it to help, it would be an earning possibility. And so it was very important. And I had to break. And so I broke and met her. And she was able to help me, to salvage me in a way, to get to editing this film. So I got to Toronto. And been here for many months looking at a lot of footage because this was the first time I was working with HD, I have to admit. And organizing the HD footage is quite something. And even despite you had to organize it, I felt I had to go through all this stuff. Maybe it's just my overthoroughness. I wanted to know it as well as the editor, and I think that's very important. So I spent months going through footage. It was kind of crazy. Maybe I should have done it differently. I don't know. But anyway, I did it that way. And then she introduced me to a very lovely editor who is another diaspora, Trinidadian in origin, but Canadian, who has feature film editing, a lot of editing short films, who's an incredible storyteller herself. And so she was able to help me to do this thing over the last 7 or 8 months.
Wow. So when are you planning to release it?
What is your
distribution and marketing plan?
Well, that's a good question. We don't know yet. It's still finishing. We haven't locked the storytelling process. When we were editing, it was such another war. So now it's become this very beautiful and very original and very different little film. And I'm trying to show people. We're trying to finish it. We're trying to make a trailer. We don't know what release date or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody's, you know, it's been since 2009. It's been 4 years.
Yeah.
So everybody, the so-called partners, the actors, especially the lead, they're all hounding you.
Right.
When is this happening? And they're all angry. Angry for what?
Yeah.
You know, if I could have finished it or hurried it up before, then I, or you know, had it complete before, why wouldn't I have?
Yeah.
But it's an independent film with no backing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've had to do this almost all on my own. And there's another story that had a legal glitch, had to get a lawyer and fight, and it was really something else. So here I am. So we're getting closer and closer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see the light in the tunnel.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
It's going to be a really very exciting little story. And one of the things that, just before this interview, I was asking, you know, who are some of your followers and listeners? And I was told that Roots Reggae Radio has a strong Brazilian and Japanese following and people from Malaysia, and that's very exciting because I'd love to show this film in Brazil and in Japan. So the listeners from Brazil and Japan, look for me, Kingston Paradise official
Facebook page.
Yeah.
I like
it, please.
Yeah.
I love you. It's called,
I posted.
Yes,
yeah.
Definitely. It's the official page. There are a couple other pages that we started up, but the official page is the main page with 1,000 likes.
Yeah.
Please like it and tweet me and let's, you know, begin a conversation.
Right. So do you want to actually say your Twitter so people know
yes.
to see you?
Yes, it's at FilmArt. I should have at Kingston Paradise, but it's not. It's at Film Art with an E, FilmArt. And just look for Kingston Paradise, Kingston Paradise, Twitter, Kingston Paradise Film, and then you'll find it.
We'll tweet it.
Yes.
Follow it and tweet you and ask questions about film.
Yes.
And bringing it to Brazil.
Yes, I'd love to bring this film to Brazil.
Do you know when the film festival? They must have like tons of film festivals.
Well, I was looking. I've been exploring They have two big ones. They have the Rio International Film Festival, and then they have their, one of their biggest cities, because I was interested in size. In these days when you have a niche anything, a niche film, a niche piece of music, size is important. So Sao Paulo has the biggest population, and they have one of their biggest festivals. I think it's the Sao Paulo International Film Festival. I'd love to find out more about them.
Right.
So I don't know. There are all types of festivals that we have to launch, not only to seek maybe partners, but for distribution, but a small film like this, a festival is really about PR.
Yeah, yeah.
Letting
people know about your film.
Because it's very
market,
difficult
right?
to get distribution.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a film like this, people tend to have these false ideas that there's millions of dollars to be made. No, a small film doesn't make a lot of money.
Film making is warfare.
Yeah, definitely.
I think we're going to go, we're going to go to a track, and then we'll come back.
Sure.
And, I want to play this track. I come back in here. About the process of making her feature film. Maybe you said that you wanted to basically, talk about who helped you in the process of making the film. So,
yes. Yes, I want to give a great congrats to three people first, the Chase Fund in Jamaica, Culture, Health, Arts, Science and Education Fund, who gave the first seed money for me to get going with this film. I'm forever grateful to them. And also the CPTC, Creative Production Training Center Limited, who is a partner in the project, and also Caribbean Creativity from the Netherlands. Without their support, I could not have shot this film. They were incredible, and they will be very proud to be a part of this project. And then Caribbean Tales, Francis Ann Solomon, has been incredible. Without their support, without their backing, without their advice, without their knowledge, I could not have come this far. It's been, you know, filmmaking is definitely a collaborative effort. You cannot do it alone. You cannot.
Yeah. Now that you sort of like see the end of the tunnel, do you have any other projects that you have in mind? But you were saying you just want to get on, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, take a break. Maybe like, yeah, what is your process after?
Well, this film, you kind of still, you'll always be doing it till, at any rate, till you can hopefully make a bit of funds with it to pay off whoever is invested in it, and to make it go as far as it can. You hope, presumptuously, I'd like to inspire young people. The film itself is looking at a small society, looking at itself through the eyes of young people who can't achieve their dreams and their goals. So where are we going? You know, this kind of thing. It's an urban film, urban action drama, so it should appeal to urban dwellers anywhere, as far as Europe, across into Asia, and certainly in Latin America and Brazil.
Sao Paulo International Film Festival, if you didn't hear before.
Yeah, really. And so, you know, it's still, this project is still in the mind. I don't, I can't even think about anything else. In between, I'm earning. I have a big Jamaican project. It's partly an animation project for the government. And I'm here trying to write scripts in between. And then I have to get back to Jamaica shortly to do it. It's sort of based on the power of sugarcane. And Brazil has turned sugarcane into this incredible energy power. So Jamaica is following behind it. So that's what this project is. And then I have another personal project, the first script that I wrote for another movie that I have to look about trying to do. And of course, this project has taught me so much that I'm not going to make the same mistakes twice.
Right. Like the next, it'll be smoother, hopefully.
Yes, I hope so. Well, nothing is ever smooth, but you know, you learn as you go. Yeah.
I'm just trying to think. What's your hope of going back, you know, to Jamaica, because you've been here for a while?
Yes. Well, the transition is, you know, the minute you leave the Caribbean and go away for several months, over a year, you know, to go back home is always very emotional. And Jamaica is not a calm, peaceful place. You know, it's a very intense, very vibrant, exciting Caribbean country. But it has this heavy social presence. And so to go back and deal with that, that's another thing. And what it made me realize, being a bit diaspora myself, is that I don't know if, as an artist, I can be totally based in a small island again, you know, for long periods of a time. I really have to have a base, more definitive base, and then be able to earn enough to travel and, you know, work in other places.
So what's your hope? Hope for the future of this film?
For Kingston Paradise, mm-hmm. I hope that it excites young people. Its audience is from late teens to 20s, and for older adults as well, in 40s and 50s. you know, you kind of try to hone an audience. I hope that I can excite people. I know it will excite Caribbean people because even though there's a lot of filmmaking going on now, it's to see a movie of ourselves is still unique, you know. So I hope that I can garner an audience and really excite young people to especially one of my secondary audiences are marginalized young people to think about their goals and aspirations.
So what is, you think, the main message of your film that you want to get across?
One of the things is,
people, yeah.
Yes, you don't know what you have until it's gone. And that applies to everything. The place you live in, your actual immediate life, the people who impact your lives, maybe the love you have in your life. So we have to really, you know, look at ourselves and try to live a journey that's you know, not self-centered, that's realistic. And in the Caribbean, because we're so dominated by Canada and the US and these strong northern countries or countries to the north, and we're so close to right under, you know, in the case of Jamaica, right under the nose of South Florida. You're so influenced by their TV and their life that this deep quest to aspire for a North American way of life is so entrenched in our society, and we just cannot live up to it. We have not been able to. And the unfortunate thing is that, the paradox is that the Caribbean is not a poor region. There are some very poor countries there, but we're not a poor region. And we could be much better than we are. But, you know, it comes back to this leadership and this realistic and this business of the dreams that we have for ourselves. And I don't know, you know, in the case of Jamaica, there's a lot of talk of, especially among people in business, they want to be like Singapore. I don't want the Caribbean to be like Singapore. Jamaica is what it is. It's very beautiful. It's raw. It's our lives are centered around the paradise of tropical life by the sea. That's what we are. Why aren't we happy with who we are? And that's another very important thing that I didn't mention. The center of this film is centered around a small painting, the quintessential view of a Caribbean image, which is a beach, a tropical beach. And the second main character, the woman, owns this painting, and she looks at it to seek refuge, because that's where she'd like to be, by the sea. Even though it's just out the door, she feels that it's not hers, it's too far away.
Right. Mm-hmm. Wow, so I'm really excited. I will be looking forward to seeing the trailer. So what is your process right now of working with the editor? And you said that you went through all the footage. And then how was that, you know, time frame, and what did that look like working with the editor?
Well, this editor could tell a story, which was really, really important. And you know, it's hard to go back to an editor who you have to monitor. She, like any professional editor, sort of did her first cut, her very rough cut on her own, following the script and the story structure of the script. And what you write on paper always becomes a different animal when you shoot it and then when you edit it. Oh boy. And so,
yeah, you tell the story,
yes,
like three times.
Yeah, three, five, six, seven, 20 times. And you're going through the structure, and even though the base is there, it has to be solid, you're juggling scenes around, getting rid of stuff and juggling to tell a good film. So it's a real nice popcorn movie, you know? So it's great. And that's what she did. She juggled stuff, we looked at stuff. You know, I took it home and looked at it, she looked at it, you know, she spent a lot of time. After a while, I had to let it go. She took it on with a vengeance, and she made it what it is as well. So it's an incredible process.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, so So do you think that you would work with her again?
Oh, yes, for sure.
Through the making of the film and the different relationships that you got from the process, would you work with Ollie's on your other script?
Yes, definitely. I mean, it all depends on where you are and funding and so on. Yes, and if they're interested in your particular project at that time. Yes, for sure, for sure. I can't say it for all the people I've involved in this particular project, but gosh, I'm still wired, you know.
Yeah,
maybe in six,
really
in 6 months I can breathe.
So what do you think about sort of like this new kind of wave of like social media and using the web to push your film? And like, have you thinking about that?
Yes, definitely. There are no words to express how at this time in our lives, how we are witnessing a global transformation. I mean, I guess every society, every generation says the same thing about something else, but we have witnessed a level playing field with social media.
Wow.
And the fact that with the ongoing changes in the digital technology, how because of access now, you know, you can make a film with a cell phone on a SLR still camera and so forth. You know, it's just sky's the limit what you can do. And the voices and the stories now that have to be heard. There's no negotiation. You know, Hollywood is still trying to hold on to something, but they cannot. It's like, and even if they're not the audience anymore, it's okay. There's a whole world out there. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, it's direct access to a global, audience that we didn't have access before.
No. And a small film like this has to have a grassroots kind of marketing approach. So I'm working on that. I've made some inroads. So in time, maybe shortly, maybe who knows. And you know, once we get going with marketing, you'll see some of that.
So maybe plug where they can, get in touch with you via the film.
Yes. If you could look on Facebook for Kingston Paradise, and that's the official Facebook page. The official Facebook page. There are a couple others, but it's the official one. It has, at the moment, over 1,000 likes, and we'd like more. I'd love to get 10,000 likes. So all you guys from Brazil, Japan, Malaysia, Jamaica, Barbados, Trinidad, everywhere, St. Lucia, Martinique, Guadeloupe, please like the Kingston Paradise official page and write me a message. Tell me you've listened to this interview and let's start a conversation, because there's the story's off the page. It's off the actual... when a film is made, what does it become? It's off the drive, you know?
Well, no, off the page, you mean?
Well, no, it's, in other words, once it becomes a film, it's off the...
Like, because it becomes projected. Right?
Yes, it's off the screen. It's the story goes beyond our hearts and minds and spirits. So it lives on. So help me to live it, to carry it on. Many people are going to react in many different ways. This film is not what you expect it to be.
I'm really excited to see it. No pressure of when it's going to be done. We'll just have you on again.
Thank you.
all through the way. And I'm going to go try and go to track. Before we got onto the break, I wanted to tell listeners about this track, and it's called Rain, and it's by Bad News Brown. They called him, I was following him for a while because he's Haitian from Montreal, and I wanted to work with him, ask him to score something give some music. So that track was called Rain, and I think I'm gonna try to figure out what I want to play next, and then we'll regroup. And if people want to actually, I'm going to promote the show. That's what I will do. So this is Artists in the City. My name is Mally, aka Donkey Vixen. You can get attached to the show through Artists in the City or Roots Reggae Radio. And we also have a blog spot. No, it's WordPress. And we archive all our shows. So you could also re-listen to this interview. So that's artistsinthecity.wordpress.com. And then, yeah, like the artists on the In the City fan page, and also it's Reggae Radio. So, Mary, you wanted to thank the people?
Yes, I wanted to thank the current sponsors who have product placement in the film, and that's Burger King Jamaica. Without their burgers, we could not have shot. I didn't have enough money for food even, and they have been incredible, and I hope they continue to sponsor us, you know, once we start to release and get out there. And also Lucozade, which is a British energy drink from GlaxoSmithKline, Jamaica, and Mitsubishi Evolution Sports Car, and the agent for it, Stewart's Auto in Jamaica. And one of the key things I forgot, want to mention is that I'm still seeking finishing funds to complete the film. So if anybody has any ideas, please talk to me. Finishing funds, very important.
Right. You could, I think if you go to festivals, that's why you go to festivals.
Well, the festival wants you to be ready and packaged.
Really?
They want you to go.
If you go, like, ahead of time. Oh, no, be part of the market, right? Because certain, you know, festivals...
Well, if it's a market, yeah, but they even want you to have your sound design, and they want you to be kind of semi-packaged already.
Oh, so it would be grants that you would be applying
to? Yes, I'm looking for investors or grants who can help me to finish the film professionally.
Right. Like some, finish it,
post,
ADR and all that.
Yes, yeah. And,
no, I got you.
To put it into a DCP so it can play in the cinemas.
Yeah.
Color correction and the whole thing.
Okay. But I guess if you attend festivals, you meet people that can also do that too.
No, the festival, they want you to be ready to go, so they can...
No, they want
to
screen it, too.
Yeah, oh, yes, okay, the festival, yes.
I kind of jumped the gun there. You are listening to Artists in the City, and we stream here every Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. on Roots Reggae Radio. And I would recommend people... we have a page, but we also have a website. I'm sure people have seen it. Posted many times. So this is like my return back from my hiatus in the Caribbean, which I've been telling everybody all week. I don't know how I feel about being back here, but I'm just rolling with it. Just rolling with it. Spring with, like, today I was like, yes. It's springtime. Yes, I saw the blossoms. It was beautiful. I was like, today is the day where I'm like, it's spring. And the sun was out and it was great. So anyway, we talk about, if people are new to the show, this is basically a show about making independent art in the city. It's, you know, based here, but basically it's whoever I interact with and interviews and stories of how do you make independent art, how do you sort of survive, and also the stories that we tell. So that's this, this is the audio space for that dialogue that I have with myself and then, you know, all the people that are also doing the same process. So musicians, if you have upcoming shows, artists, visual artists, events. I'm also looking at small entrepreneurs because they kind of are teachers or educators, it would be great to have them on the show. So contact us. My address is mally@docuvixen.com. I have a website, but really I have been kind of behind on the blogging. I should be blogging all the time. Just don't have time. But you could also follow me on Facebook. And Artists in the City fan page and Roots Reggae Radio, and become part of the growing family that is Roots Reggae Radio. Yay, I'm so glad to be back. So anyway, did you have are you finished, Mary? Did you want to say anything else?
Well, I don't know.
Wrap up, maybe plug yourself again. Tell people how they could get involved or get, you know, contact
with the
film and your website or whatever.
Yes, we don't have a website yet.
Or Twitter.
Yes, Twitter, at FilmArt, Kingston Paradise. Look for Twitter, Kingston Paradise. Facebook, Kingston Paradise official page. Like it. Post something about this interview maybe and let's start a conversation. What can I say? Filmmaking is a very beautiful art. It's the biggest thing is relationships with people, and constantly juggling and redefining relationships. And it's all about relationships and money and relationships. It's just kind of wild.
So maybe I wanted to have one last question, I guess. Yeah, so I wanted to know your input. Like we kind of started talking about the, you know, opening up audience with the web, but what do you think about, you know, like sort of your ideas on an industry in the region and people and filmmakers telling their own stories and just
That's a big area.
I hope to come on again. So
yes,
an ongoing dialogue.
Sure. Yes, it certainly is. Well, it's explosive in the Caribbean, as it is all over the developing world, because of the access to equipment. The digital technology has just transformed everything in our lives and has leveled the playing field. So the average person can't make a small movie. So there are lots of voices on there. And in the Caribbean, we have great potential to tell and are telling many incredible stories, especially coming out of Trinidad and all over the region, and the diaspora who are from the Caribbean going back, and you know, there's this incredible interchange, which is very, very exciting. And certainly in Jamaica, there's all kinds of exciting things happening. But there are a few problems. Money is at the helm. There is a belief, one of the biggest chips on my shoulders I have is there is this clash of not acceptance, of understanding and of coming together and working together with tourism and art. The gatekeepers who control tourism in the Caribbean don't understand the power of culture. And in Jamaica, for example, the Board of Tourism. You know, I've been told point blank by a very high-profile individual who controls one of the gatekeepers of tourism, that local filmmakers are, don't carry the banner of or the images that they want to promote the way they would like to see Jamaica promoted. You know, we're telling the real stories, the belly of a country. We show the inner city, the raw, the ugly, and that's not the image to promote Jamaica. And they have access to all sorts of fund possibilities, and they're not interested in facilitating it. There's no official rule or law, it's just unofficial quiet. And so that I have a real problem with. And how to get away with the stereotype of this Caribbean image versus when you live there, what you want to express. So that's one of the big issues I have.
I guess what's your hope for that, like the industry within the region?
Well, I think there's a lot of hope.
Yeah.
because you can't stop people, you know, they're going to create stuff.
Yeah.
But there's a clash of the titans, the exotic versus the reality. So.
Yeah, the glazed version versus the real. So anyway, I think it's been a really good show, and I hope listeners got something out of it. And I hope, like a lot of filmmakers, if you have any questions, hit Mary up on the official website, Kings in Paradise, official page, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
And ask Mary questions, and kind of dialogue and follow the film. And we'll have her on again.
Okay, thank you.
When it's finished.
Yes, thank you.
And hopefully you'll be able to get through the editing post warfare that
yes,
you're going through.
Yes.
Right now.
It's an exciting warfare, though. You feel
no,
because
you're building something.
Yeah.
I like that process. So I hope listeners come back. We're here every Thursday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. PM on Roots Reggae Radio, and
I'd love you to tell listeners about your station. I was learning about it for the first time, which I found very exciting.
Well, I really think I don't know if Shina comes on the radio at all, but the kind of like soundbite that I got, it's like, we're here to create a space for independent voices. I'm probably like improvising, but you know, positive, conscious kind of messages,
mm-hmm.
To sort of be able to get out there to the peoples.
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's lovely. Thank you.
And so we'll be back here next week, and we'll have Mary on when the film is thing, and we'll be out.
Thank you. Thank you very
music
much.
So I could stop talking. And also contact me at Twitter at DocuVixen. I'm on Facebook. I have a Facebook page, a DocuVixen film. And yes, we will be back next week, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Roots Reggae Radio.
Thank you very much, Mary.